So, Kevin, I have to ask you something as we begin this week's episode of The End Zone.
Yes, sir.
Did somebody slip John Gruden, Pete Carroll's playbook?
I knew you were going to bring that up. God, poor Marshawn. No. From what I heard, he was not happy about that. So I don't know if Derek Carr called an audible or if it was the offensive coordinator that did it and John Gruden didn't know. At least that's what he said that I was reading from between the lines when he said he was really upset for Marshawn not getting that ball on the 1 yard line. So, yeah, I don't know if you know this or not, but the Oakland Raiders are the new Browns and it sucks.
I'm saying this now, and it doesn't matter if it's the Raiders or any other team that Marshawn Lynch should ever play for again. The rule should be if you get the ball on the goal line, your first play is to hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch. I don't care if everybody in the NFL knows it's coming. It still needs to happen.
I agree.
So, well, with that, we are here to talk the end zone and, of course, wrap up week 5 and take a look ahead to week 6. But before we do that, I'll take care of a little business around here and tell you where you can not only find the End Zone, but all the great shows here on the Fandom Podcast Network. And it all starts with our homepage at fpnet.podbean.com. Of course, for you mobile device users, you can also use the Podbean app. Just search the Fandom Podcast Network on the Podbean app, and you'll find all of our great shows. Of course, we're also on iTunes, Stitcher, and for you Android users, Google Play. Visit our Facebook page, Fandom Podcast Network. You can also email us, tell us how we're doing at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network or on Twitter at FanPod Network. Of course, you can find myself, Kyle, on Twitter at AKyleW or on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Kevin, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Spartan_Phoenix.
Okay, well, we're not going to beat around the bush too much with this week's episode of The End Zone because we got a lot of things to cover. So let's do a quick rundown of week 5, Kevin, and just talk about the scores and maybe a few things we saw. I'll start with the Thursday night game, the Patriots laying pretty much a beatdown on the Colts, which I think everybody predicted.
Yeah, they kind of got back into Pat's fashion there.
Yep. Trap game. Bills manning up, beating the Titans. We both kind of suspected this one, Kevin.
Yeah, the Bills are kind of putting some pieces together. They're, after what they, they went into Minnesota and smacked them in the mouth, decided to do the same thing. Not as bad, but, say, hey, we're actually a professional football team.
Yeah, and in the game where we learned that at least one NFL kicker can make kicks, Graham Gano hits a 63-yard game-winning field goal for the Panthers to beat the Giants.
I felt bad, especially after that great trick play with Odell throwing the touchdown to Saquon Barkley. Yeah.
The Bengals keep looking impressive with a 27-17 win over the Miami Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
The Browns winning it ugly, but winning it and upsetting the Ravens 12-9 in a barn burner.
Did we kind of expect, though, that was going to be a defensive battle? I kind of did.
Yeah, I think so. Browns' third overtime of the game of the season already.
Wow.
The Lions manning up, handing a loss to Aaron Rodgers. Lions beating the Packers 31-23. Mason Crosby missed 5 kicks in this game for Green Bay.
That is not good. I used to have him on fantasy teams back in the day. Glad I don't now.
Yeah. The Kansas City Chiefs showing some power in the AFC, beating one of the top, a lot of people considered a Super Bowl team with the Jacksonville Jaguars fairly handily, 30-14. And I'll talk more about the Chiefs here in a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a couple things I want to say about that too, but yeah, man, that was no doubt about who won that one.
Yeah. The Jets manning up and laying a butt whooping on the Broncos. Isaiah Crowell runs for 219 rushing yards as the Jets handle the Broncos 34-16.
I knew they had a chance to win. I was betting on the Broncos, but I was not expecting this.
I've just got to say, I felt so bad for the guy on the Jets. The last play of the game gets a 101-yard interception return, and he was 1 yard short of the touchdown.
Yeah.
The Steelers lay a butt-whooping on the Falcons. James Conner gets 185 scrimmage yards and 2 TDs. The Steelers beat the Falcons 41-17.
Le'Veon who?
Yeah, the Falcons are done. Injuries have killed them. The Chargers. I thought the Raiders would actually play them a little tougher, Kevin. I got to be honest with you.
I was expecting a tougher game as well. obviously it sucks being a Raider fan that they lose to the Chargers in LA, where the Raiders still get a lot of love in there. But that was actually a very boring game, which I wish it was competitive, but didn't get that.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that a little more when we do our Raiders Chiefs talk segment. So Vikings pulling out a huge win for their season, beating the Eagles 23-21 in a game where two teams kind of that we thought were going to be heavy in the mix are still mediocre at this point. But still, yeah, a very big win for the Vikings. The Cardinals manning up. Josh Rosen has definitely given them a spark as they get their first win over the San Francisco 49ers, 28-18. And again, a shout-out to C.J. Beathard. Under horrid circumstances, that kid is playing some pretty good ball.
Yeah.
Seattle gave the Rams everything they could handle, but the Rams still pulled it out 33-31. And in the game where I think neither coach really wanted to win the game the way they were calling plays, the Texans beat the Cowboys 19-16 on Sunday Night Football. And in the Drew Brees Hall of Fame ceremony game, the Saints laid a whooping, and I mean a whooping, on the Redskins 43-19.
Nice Hall of Fame ceremony game.
A quick shout out to a couple things. One, how dare the NFL call a celebration penalty on Drew Brees on the Saints over that Drew Brees touchdown where he broke the record?
I didn't catch that. I'll be honest with you. I did not get a chance to watch this game. I was podcasting, but I did not know that happened. Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm dead serious. It was ridiculous. The Twitter was blowing up off that one. Also, a shout out to Peyton Manning, who recorded a hilarious video tribute to Drew Brees, which you can find on the, if you can go find it on the internet, it is priceless.
I got to watch this. I didn't get a chance to see it.
And in the bye weeks, the Bears beat the bye while the Buccaneers lost to it. So, okay, let's just talk a couple of things. Let's talk about our Raiders and Chiefs, Kevin. Do you want me to go first, or would you
let me get the pain out of the way? Let's just say that you know how, and I'm sure you've been in this situation as well as any fan of any team that's had a bad year or it's starting off really bad. When you get to a certain point of the year, like the first quarter, and you start to accept that things are not going to happen this year, so I'm just going to enjoy what I can, and that's where I'm at right now. My Raiders, obviously, you know, it was great that they won that game against at home against Cleveland, and you know there was some positiveness there, but you know when you lose against a division rival like the Chargers, and you know what? I don't know if you've seen the video. I saw it come up at the end there when they were just laying on the hurt before the Raiders were like putting up any points. Phillip Rivers was taunting the defense. I don't know if you saw this video or not.
Oh, come on. That's Phillip Rivers being Phillip Rivers.
Oh, yeah. That's why we hate Phillip Rivers, because that dude's a douche. But he was like, hey, nice defense. And then he basically calls out loud of what's going to happen, and they still couldn't stop the damn play.
What was even funnier was Phillip Rivers going after one of the referees on what was a horrid call, I have to admit. Even the announcers were like, that's a bad call. And you see Phillip Rivers.
What was painful about watching this this game is that the Raiders were doing horrible clock management at the fourth quarter, trying to see, you know, because, you know, they were still within the game. They either down three scores, they got one, but like there was no hurry up. They just didn't care. And what was horrible watching this is that the announcers, Greg Gumbel and whoever the other guy is, we're calling them on it like every time they were doing horrible clock management. It was like watching a Pee Wee team. It was that bad.
Yeah, I think it was Dan Fouts who was the announcer with Greg Gumbel.
Yeah, I hate Dan Fouts. That guy can suck it.
I have two legitimate questions for you about this, Kevin. We know last year the Raiders kind of had some locker room problems. Are we starting to see that kind of creep in with just kind of the effort they showed against the Chargers this week? You're talking about the time management and just,
I haven't
of
heard of locker room issues right now. It's I think it's just performance and anxiety and stuff like that. There's because Derek Carr's brother was at the game last week, and they were talking about how they needed to win that game. And that it was a big kind of monkey off their back to get their first win, but there didn't seem to be any dissension that, David Carr was getting out of the locker room. They seem to still feel like they're a team and still working together. So that's only what I'm hearing, you know, from the Raider feeds and the Raider buzz feeds and the guys that are, you know, they have their hands into the locker room and what's happening and stuff like that. So I don't think we're there yet. But I, you know, I think they're probably realizing that, just like the fans are, that, you know, they're still going to try to play to win, but they're not, their season's not going to go where they want it to go.
Okay. And then the last question I have is with Derek Carr. And I've got to ask this, Kevin, because it's just something I've noticed in his, the way he's throwing. Derek Carr's deep balls seem awful lofty this season. Instead of kind of having a little bit of zip to him. You remember a quarterback by the name of Jeff Blake? Where they always joke when he threw a deep ball, like the ball went 5 miles off the screen before it came back.
Yeah.
He seems like he's throwing the ball like that, and it's, I think it's contributing to some of his interception problems. He just doesn't seem to have some zip on the ball. Is he hiding an injury?
No, he's not hiding injury. The interceptions that are really killing us are not reading the defense well enough. And the thing was that play where he throws the end zone interception, first of all, he's got to work off on the if he's going to fake a handoff to Marshawn Lynch, he's really got to work on faking it. He did not do that. And the defensive player, I'm forgetting the guy's name, was reading his eyes and was just watching. He was just waiting for Derek Carr to throw that. And Derek Carr didn't see that and threw it right into that guy's hand. The guy was just waiting for it. So when it comes to the interceptions, the long throws and stuff like that, those can be contributed not just his bad throws, but also either the receiver not fighting for it, and some other stuff as well. But there's been a few of those things that he's thrown, but that's not the consistent interception problem he's been having. He's just making some stupid decisions.
Yeah. Well, let's flip the page now and talk about the team that's in first place in the AFC West, and that is, of course, my beloved Kansas City Chiefs.
Man, they're looking good, man. I got to give it to you. Enjoy it while you can, dude.
This, I'm going to say this, and I'm curious to see what you think, because I think this was the kind of game other teams in the NFL didn't want to see the Chiefs win, because they won it without Patrick Mahomes having a great day. He still threw for 300 yards, but he had a couple interceptions. He only ran a touchdown and no touchdown passes. But Kansas City's defense finally showed up, making a lot of plays, including 5 sacks of Blake Bortles and also getting 4 turnovers on him as well. If Kansas City, and I'll be the first to say, they're never going to play outstanding defense, but a couple of interesting things. As bad as their defense has been and by the yardage they give up, they are still the best team in the league at defending on third down. They have the teams have the lowest conversion percentage on third down against Kansas City.
Those are the type of games that good teams win. And, you know, when you can have the defense step up, your quarterback not perform as well as he's used to and still win the game, that makes for a good team, being able to overcome all of that type of stuff. And I just want to say, I'm going to reiterate, I know I told you this off mic. I'm actually really impressed with the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't have a big head. He seems grounded. And I saw a great little thing on ESPN today talking about him and his history with his dad, who was a professional baseball player. He played with Alex Rodriguez. Alex Rodriguez was also interviewed talking about young Patrick Mahomes. And what was funny was he was talking about baseball, and he was saying something about, you know, wanting to play football as well or something. And Alex said, you know, Alex gave him some advice, and it turned out to be the wrong advice. And Alex copped up to it, but saying, "I'm really glad he didn't listen to me." But if you're a Chiefs fan, you got to check that out. It was on ESPN. It was one of those little shorts they put together. But when you hear Patrick Mahomes talk, it seems like he's been in the league for a very, very long time. And I got to say, I got to respect him. I like him as a person, which kills me because.
You're going to be seeing him for a very long time.
He's one of those personalities you want to root for, but because he's on the same freaking division as my beloved Raiders, it kills me to say that, but at least he's a likable guy, so I'm going to give him credit for that. He seems to be doing everything right.
Yeah, Kansas City's hitting all cylinders. They've got a pretty tough stretch. They're in the middle of a pretty tough stretch of games. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, too, and when we talk about some of the NFL news going around. But, well, we're looking at things, before we move on to that NFL news, let's take a quick look at the power rankings, Kevin.
Of course.
So as they stand right now, the Los Angeles Rams still in at number one on the power rankings. You know what? Seattle's always a tough place to play. So you go in there, you win a Seattle game where they had a lot of injuries in that game. That should keep them at number one.
Let me ask you this. Okay, yeah. So Chiefs are number two right now. There's an argument they could be number one right now. If they go in, they beat Tom Brady in Foxborough, stay undefeated, no matter what happens to the Rams, if the Rams win again, I think the Chiefs should be number one.
I'm not going to argue that point.
I hate to say that, but if they can pull a repeat of, was it last year, the first season, the first game of the season, that's going to be a tough thing to do.
Yeah. Number three, and you know what? I can't even really argue this team at this point. They're coming off a bye, and that's the Chicago Bears. I mean, they've still got some prove it to me as far as their offense goes, and Mitchell Trubisky, that defense is legit, and they're playing some really good football.
I would put the Saints, because the Saints are at four right now. I'd put the Saints at three personally, but until the Bears start slipping up, I'm not going to argue that point too much.
Yeah, well, this is also a head-to-head matchup. Bears handled the Buccaneers. Saints lost to the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
At number five, the 4-1 Bengals, I think, are the surprise team of the NFL so far.
Yeah.
Number six, we have the Panthers getting lucky, and Graham Gano manning up and being the only kicker in the league that knows how to kick, apparently. Yes. Number seven,
He's been a consistent kicker. He's pretty good.
Yeah. Number seven, the Patriots. Lookout League, the Patriots are seeming to get right, and Josh Gordon and Julian Edelman are making Tom Brady look pretty dangerous again.
Well, it's also, they also have a two-headed running attack right now, not three or four. Yeah, you know, with Sony Michel and James White, and they're both being productive, especially James White.
Yeah. Number eight, and I still think this is too high, I'm still not sold on them, is the Titans.
I would agree with you there.
Number nine, the Jaguars. Number 10, the Ravens. Chargers coming in at 11. The Steelers moving up to 12. Vikings 13, Redskins 14, Dolphins rounding out the top 15, just falling out of the top 15, Eagles, Packers, Texans moving up to number 17, your Raiders at 29.
And yeah, you didn't have to scroll all the way that far down. I didn't even want to know.
well, look at it this way. San Francisco has supplanted the Cardinals as the worst team in the league, according to the power rankings.
Misery loves company.
Yep. So, with that, let's talk about our NFL top stories, Kevin. And it starts off with, I'm sorry, how there would be anybody in the league who would root against Drew Brees is beyond me. And
he's one of those likable guys, you know, whether, you know, I know a lot of Falcon fans hate the Saints, but, you know, he's not a Cam Newton attitude guy, you know.
No, this is a guy who went into New Orleans when New Orleans was at its worst and just became a symbol for that city and a spokesman for that city. And he broke the all-time NFL passing record. He got to 500 touchdown passes on Monday night. It just couldn't happen to a better guy, and he's not done yet. He's only 37 touchdowns behind the NFL record for touchdowns thrown.
Yeah, and he's going to be around for a few more years too with that contract, right?
Yeah, he's this year and next year, I think, that contract runs, and I can't see the Saints not giving him another year if he's healthy. I would.
72,103 passing yards. Wow.
That's just insane. The Bills add a little bit of veteran QB depth. They've signed veteran Derek Anderson, who's always been a pretty good backup quality quarterback.
I remember that guy. Wasn't he doing pretty well there in Minnesota for a while, if I remember correctly?
No, Cleveland. He actually had a couple good years. He had a Pro Bowl year for the Browns.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay. Yeah.
And then he went to Carolina and was Cam Newton's backup, and every time he went in, it seemed like Carolina couldn't lose. So.
Yeah.
Now, this one kind of hits home, close to home for me and you, Kevin, as it's a longtime member of the AFC West, he's still part owner, but Alex Spanos passed away. Of course, Chargers owner, always kind of in a little bit of controversy. He was not too well liked in San Diego.
No, San Diego fans did not like him at all, especially because he took the team out of San Diego. So, yep. But you know what? San Diego fans could have showed up to games. So there you go.
Yep. Now, in an interesting thing, and yes, it does involve my team, but even I am surprised by this, Kevin. The NFL announced today that they are flexing the Chiefs-Bengals game in week 7 to Sunday Night Football, which means Kansas City is going to be the first team ever since Sunday Night Football started that will play on back-to-back weeks of NFL Sunday Night Football.
What was the game they pushed back?
49ers Rams.
Yeah, you know, I can't blame them for doing that.
So, I mean, it just kind of one of those weird...
Is that at Arrowhead or at Cincinnati?
That is at Arrowhead. Kansas City plays New England in New England this Sunday night, and then back Sunday night, Collinsworth and Al Michaels are going to get a double dose of KC barbecue, I guess.
All right.
So, name from the past we haven't seen in a while, Jamaal Charles. Not only did he end up working out for Jacksonville, but right before this podcast started, he signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, Jacksonville's a little beat up at running back. They lost their running back Grant for the season. Leonard Fournette is still having hamstring issues, and TJ Yeldon does have an ankle issue. So, not a bad signing. And speaking of running backs who have been around the league for a while, in last night's Monday Night Football game, Adrian Peterson dislocated his shoulder.
Oh, that's too bad. He was doing good, but I think he's going to be coming back, though. I think he's going to get a second opinion is what I read, but he's still planning on playing through it.
He says he's insisting that he will be playing this Sunday. So
yeah.
Adrian Peterson is a tough SOB, so I wouldn't rule it out. And lastly, Eagles running back Jay Ajayi out for the season with a torn ACL.
Oh, that sucks. I didn't have him on any of my fantasy teams.
Yeah, he really hadn't had a great year fantasy-wise. But, you know, it's still a blow to the Eagles. But let's take a look ahead now, Kevin, and see what we got here coming in week 6.
Oh, yes.
It starts with a classic NFC East matchup on Thursday night with Philadelphia at the New York Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Giants have been more spry, but we'll see. Then on Sunday, I'm just going to run down the list and we'll pick out a couple that grab our interest. Arizona at Minnesota, the Chargers at Cleveland, Chicago at Miami, Carolina at Washington, Indianapolis at the New York Jets, Pittsburgh at Cincinnati, Tampa Bay at Atlanta, in London, Seattle and Oakland, Buffalo at Houston, the Rams at Denver, Jacksonville at Dallas, Baltimore at Tennessee, Sunday Night Football, Kansas City at New England, and Monday Night Football, San Francisco at Green Bay. This is going to be the Aaron Rodgers, I'm really mad game, and I'm going to light up the 49ers.
Yeah.
What grabs you on that schedule, Kevin?
Okay, now I know the Raiders aren't doing well, but I just want to give a shout out to all of my Raider friends, a lot of them that I traveled with four years ago now. When I went to go see the Raiders play in London against Miami, a lot of them have just arrived in London, and the Silver and Black UK is putting on some great parties there. Of course, I know they wish that their team was more competitive right now, but I can tell you this, Raider fans are going to have fun over there. They're going to have several parties and barbecues and events and meetups and, of course, tailgating. So I just want to give a shout out to that. The one game I'm kind of curious about, though, is LA Rams at Denver, especially with Denver kind of colliding, you know, falling apart in New York. I'm kind of curious if they're going to man up in their home now.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Of course, you know, this is going to sound like Homer again, like we talked about last week, but really, I think it is the game of the week, and that's the Sunday night game, Kansas City at New England.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even disagree with that one. The other game, too, I actually would watch is Pittsburgh at Cincinnati.
Those games are always classic. I'm a little intrigued by Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Jameis Winston is back for Tampa Bay. That Atlanta defense is terrible. This could be a little bit interesting, and we could see which Tampa Bay team we might see for the rest of the season.
Yeah, this is true. Chicago at Miami. Kind of curious where Chicago's going to do coming off the bye week.
And I'm kind of curious about the Chargers going to Cleveland.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So... some interesting games on the docket this week. Looking forward to that. But before we go any further, we've got a little promo to tell you about all the great shows here on the Fandom Podcast Network. So sit back, take a listen, and Kevin and I will be back with the staple end zone, mediocre fantasy football advice.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to recommend these other great podcasts on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast with the latest news, reviews, and other fun topics in pop culture. Also, Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast where we discuss all things Highlander. Couch Potato Theater, our podcast celebrating the cult classic and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. The End Zone, our podcast talking about all things current in the NFL and giving our best mediocre fantasy football advice. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast. Discoville, a Star Trek Discovery and the Orville podcast. The Hair Metal Podcast, if you're a hard rock music fan, the Hair Metal Podcast rediscovers the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. And Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, as we discuss all things Doctor Who, past and present. You can find these great shows on the Fandom Podcast Master Feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play. On Facebook, you can find us at Fandom Podcast Network. On Instagram, we are at Fandom Podcast Network. And on Twitter, at FanPod Network. You can also email us directly at FandomPodcastNetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and support the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
So we hope you're checking out all these other great shows here on the Fandom Podcast Network. But it's time to talk a little fantasy football, Kevin. And it starts with, of course, every week, the Jimmy GQ Man Crush Award.
Okay, so he may have been on my Man Crush before. I got to say it again because he came through for me on Monday night and helped me win my my fantasy game in our NFL league, which you and I are both tied at 4-1 now. And that the guy that just set a record, Drew Brees. I was down by 60 points, and all I had was him. And he scored me with the scoring that we have in there. He scored 77 points, I think it was, and I ended up winning the game because of that. So I got to give it to Drew Brees. He's my Jimmy GQ Man Crush Award of the week. What about you?
I have co-man crushes this week, Kevin, and they're both kickers.
Ooh, I like that. Okay, well, I can guess one of them, Graham Gano, right?
Graham Gano, just for manning up a 63-yard field goal, is a lot of points in any fantasy football league, and he hit a couple other kicks. And the man who I think he's right now the best kicker in the NFL and easily the most consistent kicker, and maybe the only guy who really truly remembers how to kick every week, is Justin Tucker of the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah,
that guy is about an automatic 12 to 15 points every week at this point.
So Kenyon Drake decided to show up. Didn't we kick him off Fantasy Island last week?
I think we have to allow him back on. He had quite the receiving game, if nothing else. But speaking of Fantasy Island, Kevin, after this week, who is getting expelled from Fantasy Island?
Because I have him in like almost all my leagues, and I drafted him, and then I picked him up off a free waiver wire. But he's just not producing, and this is coming from own experience. I'm not just, you know, picking a guy that's doing horrible and I don't have him, but that's Quincy Yunwa from the Jets.
See, and I don't think you can rely on any Jets receiver with Sam Darnold.
Well, Robbie Anderson is the one that's now blowing up right now, if you look at what's been happening the last couple of weeks. And so I'm about to expel Quincy Yunwa from the Fantasy Island. What about you?
You know, I've been thinking about this, and this has been a hard one for me, but you know what? I'm actually going to take a pretty big name player and say it might be time to consider expelling him from Fantasy Island, and that is Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
That guy cannot stay healthy.
He's and it's not like you can drop him because
he is one of the most talented backs in the league, but he cannot stay healthy.
Yeah, it's kind of like that high-priced player that teams pay for and then they can't trade them, and you just have to stick him on your bench because you don't want that chance of him actually getting healthy and someone else grabbing him up. I know that, man. I was hit hard on some injuries, and he was not on any of my leagues, but I can understand that.
Yeah, I've got him on one of our leagues. Luckily, I was able to pick up TJ Yeldon to handcuff him with. But now, Kevin, I have a question for you about fantasy football.
Yes.
Do trades actually happen in fantasy football?
I keep hearing about trades from other people, either online or listening to podcasts or and stuff like that. I attempted a trade in one of our leagues. I tried to get the Chicago Bears defense, and then the guy turned around and tried a three-person deal thing, and he wanted to take some of my best players. I'm like, no. I find it very frustrating. I honestly, no. I don't trade. I rarely trade.
I played fantasy football for almost 20 years, and the problem with trades is you barely get an equal value trade across the board, or you get those people who kind of collude at the season's end and make a trade that seems a little fishy. So, you know, I bring that up because we're coming up to trade deadline in the NFL, and it just felt like an interesting topic to bring up. But let's talk about some waiver wire pickups for this week, Kevin.
Alfred Morris, you need to pick that guy up. He's been available in a lot of leagues with Matt Breida playing hurt, and he did well this last week. Mohamed Sanu stepping up. He's number three on the depth chart, but he's not acting like it. Robbie Anderson, I just told, that's another one you want to pick up too. And right now you got to start looking at quarterbacks for your, you're streaming for a week or whatever because of, for example, Drew Brees this week.
Yeah. Jameis Winston, a lot of people aren't sure. If you're going to stream a quarterback, this is the week to stream Jameis Winston. The Atlanta Falcons defense.
Don't you need to see him be productive first before you take a chance on him? I would rather pick up an Andy Dalton or Baker Mayfield or something. I'd rather pick up one of those guys I've seen that have been productive. I'm not ready to pick him up yet.
Here's the thing. I would normally say that, but they are playing the Falcons this week. And we've seen what the Falcons defense has made every quarterback they've played look like this season.
Point made. The other one too, Geronimo Allison should be coming off his concussion protocol as well.
Yeah. Also, Chris Carson's been kind of added, dropped in a lot of leagues. If he's available in your league, pick him up. I think
his performance
this week against the Rams really solidified him as the starter for Seattle. Now, Kevin, let's talk about our leagues.
Yes. As I teased before, in our NFL league, which is our trophy league, you and I are at 1-2 right now. You're at number one because you have more points favored, but we both have the same record at 4-1. Like I said, I got a great performance by Drew Brees to keep my record and to stay in touch with you. We're going to be coming head-to-head soon, it feels like it.
Yeah. Now, I have a problem this week, Kevin. I have a real dilemma in our NFL league. My two quarterbacks are going against each other. Tom Brady or do I play Patrick Mahomes? There's fantasy football head and there's fantasy football heart.
And you're the fan of one of them, too.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. This is a head versus heart. I need to be Mr. Spock here, Kevin. I need logic.
Part of me wants to say go with Brady because he's proven. But, man, Patrick Mahomes seems to... He doesn't have pressure. Doesn't seem to bother him. You know.
Yeah, man.
I don't know.
The nice thing is I've got all day Sunday to figure it out.
Yeah, this is true. Yes. So yeah. No. That my advice would probably just look at if it's a home game for New England. I would probably favor Tom Brady. He's got his weapons back, and. The defense has been doing okay.
Yeah. Now, I have to say, Kevin, I hate our ESPN league because every week I play the team that like has the best week ever. I'm putting up 200-point games and I'm losing spectacularly to teams that are putting up 250 to 300-point games, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm struggling with that one too. I'm at what... I'm actually 3-2. I'm first in the division, and you're in that one as well. You're 1-4. Oh God, you suck.
And you look at my team, and I'm like, how am I scored 203 points this week, and I lost to a guy who scored 250 some odd points.
Yeah, it's okay. I see where you're going. Your team. You got Christian McCaffrey, Yeldon, Julian Edelman.
Holmes.
Is Allen Robinson Chicago? Is he even doing all right?
He's been solid. He's been solid. Not spectacular, but solid.
I would I'd move Aaron Jones up there somewhere. And you got Philip Lindsay too. Okay. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with you.
Exactly.
I lost this week though with the ESPN, so that's why I'm only at 3-2. I split with my two Yahoo leagues and then that weird league I'm in with the Silver and Black UK. I lost that one as well.
Yeah, I won in my CBS Sports League, putting me at 3-2s. Things are getting tight there. But you know what? That kind of wraps up our fantasy football talk. But Kevin, we got to end the show with us going head to head because we can't seem to distance ourselves from each other.
I know
we have an attraction.
This is our weekly pick'em games here, where we take a point a game and you told I haven't had a chance to look at, but you said I went 8-7, which means
You're 2 points ahead of me on the season.
Okay.
But we are even on our picks of the week.
Picks of the week, yeah. We didn't get our upset picks this last week. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, still, every week we're only winning most of every week we've either tied or it's a 1 point, one game difference, except for the first week, which I won by 3, and last week, which you had 4 more picks than I did.
Yeah. Hey, it's going to be a fun season, at least for that nice, shiny new dollar bill that one of us has to decorate.
We must know each other's NFL thoughts much too well. I wonder why that is. But you know what? I'm getting the call. We're under the 2-minute warning.
I got Marshawn Lynch behind me. I'm on the 1-yard line. I'm going to actually give him the ball. Is that cool?
Not really, because I have Drew Brees at quarterback. And you know,
I'm done.
you're done. Sorry, I got a shout. Since somebody complained about me talking about Patrick Mahomes every week, I'm going to shout out to Drew Brees and have him lead us once again into the end zone.